Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long. Man, it's been a wild day, and it's going to be like that for another week and a half or so. Transfer portal. And so we have on the line with us from Go247, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Glenn, right off the bat, I'm going to ask you about Sam Levitt because it seemingly this is all chips in for Sam. Got to watch him play last couple years at Arizona State and watching him. People always want a comp. My comp, easy. Jackson Dart. He's very similar to Jackson. I think Jackson's probably a little taller. Sam's a little thicker. But they both do one thing in college that they really like. Intermediate to longer throws, they're better than the short throws. And they pass up a short throw that's easy to try to hit a big play downfield. Now, he's coming off the Lisfranc surgery. And so you gather that that's going to be a few months before he's able to really hit stride with it. But your thoughts on the addition? Because I think sometime this afternoon or tonight, we'll find out exactly your thoughts on Sam Levitt to LSU.
Yeah, that sure would be nice if we got that answer here in the next couple hours, because I think the longer that it drags out when he leaves campus, you know, the more likely it is for him to consider other options. But from everything that I've heard and everybody I've talked to, it sounds like LSU is going to get this over the finish line. They've been meeting with him really since yesterday afternoon. Took him out to dinner last night at a really fancy restaurant. He's been in the building a lot today, meeting with different coaches and personnel people. And I think that LSU, this was always their guy. This was always the guy that I think they had circled. You know, I know they kicked the tires there on Brendan Sorsby. I know if Chambliss had not decided to re-up with Ole Miss and had gotten his waiver, that would have been certainly an option they would have considered and pursued. But I think that he's an ideal fit. And, you know, you mentioned the comp with the quarterback you mentioned just now. The one I've kind of got in the last couple of days is Bo Nix. You know, Bo Nix in 2022 when he was at Auburn, maybe the year before that he went to Oregon and became a really great player. That's kind of where I think a lot of the NFL and a lot of the college scouts kind of see Sam Levitt at right now. You know, a guy that has all the athletic traits, like you mentioned, can make the intermediate and deep throws. But just the accuracy is maybe the part of his game where he really needs to develop here over the next couple seasons. And I think that's where I think LSU can really make a great pitch to him, is that, you know, he can come in. We're going to have a great scheme, a great group of players around you. They've already started adding wide receivers and running backs left and right. They're trying to replenish those rooms. So I think he's going to have a lot going for him if he comes back or if he comes here. And, you know, the one caveat I would throw is that injury that you mentioned. I mean, those Lisfrancs are a real tough one from a healing process, from a healing perspective, because there's just not a whole lot of blood flow that gets down to your foot in that area. So the way that I've kind of heard it, he very well could miss most, if not all, of spring ball with that injury, which, you know, with the brand new team and all these new players, could certainly take him a little while to get fully, you know, immersed into this system and with these players. So there's certainly some risks, but I think the potential there far outweighs any kind of risks or concerns, because he does have a lot of special talent.
One thing, Glenn, Charlie and I are going to save this. We had an interview with him at Manning camp, and he talks about having to improve his short game. And because I told Charlie, he reminds me so much of Jackson, because that was what Jackson told me literally the year before, that, you know, hey, he's like, you're right. Oh, I could throw. I like the deeper throw. I like the intermediate throw. But, you know, I'm still working on touch in the short throws, and both guys can run with the ball. And so there's a little parallel between him and Darton, and certainly with Nix also. One guy I did see play a lot, Ty Benefield. From Boise State. And so, man, I'm trying to do television with Bobby and I and Rich Marty, and people are saying, well, compare him to A.J. Halsey. No, he's a different player. He's a more of a rangy, linear guy, sort of a thin build. But what is so impressive with Ty is his ability to get up into the seam and make a play against the run. A lot of guys built that way. That's not their forte. They more kind of chop their steps and then try to, you know, catch you, so to speak, lower body. Man, he pops you. He's a really good open field tackler. You know, and certainly some genetics there. His dad played in the CFL for a long time, had a cup of coffee in the NFL. And being a former receiver, you can see his range, how he tracks the ball in flight. That, to me, of all the signees so far, Benefield, to me, and they haven't signed Levitt yet, he has been the big splash because that guy, he ain't watching. He's playing day one. He's going to be the starter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think what's so great about him is that he does a lot of his work around the line of scrimmage. And if you're LSU, you're losing Harold Perkins this year at the star. I think it just makes all the sense in the world to slide a guy like Ty Benefield into that spot, or maybe you kind of rename it and you make it a nickel safety or something like that instead of a true star. But I feel like he is the perfect blend of a guy that can blow up plays in the backfield and then also be able to really drop in coverage and make plays in the deep end of the field as well. I mean, he's just a really well-versed player, a guy that I think looks at the mold of a guy like Monster Delane this last year. Delane, at this time a year ago, people thought that he might be kind of that day two draft pick kind of prospect, but he really took a chance on LSU, and he took what Corey Raymond and those guys were preaching to heart, and he turned himself into a first-round pick this year. And I think Benefield looks at that kind of blueprint that Delane took this last year and says, well, why can't I do the same thing? I'm a really talented player. And so I think that this system, and certainly with what LSU has proven to be in the past in the secondary, what they've been, what they were this last year in the secondary, they're going to have so many of those guys returning now with Pickett and Woodland, and it's Marcus Cooley and Deshaun Spears. You really rounded out with a guy like Brentfield, who's just a really great overall player and a guy that can make a lot of things happen both in the backfield and in the deep part of the field. I think he's a home run hit for LSU, and to this point, he's definitely LSU's top signing.
You got one thing y'all can't teach him: instincts. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, you can be big and you can be fast and you can be strong, but if you don't know what the hell you're doing, it doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good. He's instinctive, and you can tell he knows what to do out on the field. One guy that's that they brought in today on the defensive line, Stephalian Green. I remember when he came out of, I think he's from Rome, Georgia. He was a big-time high school recruit, redshirted year one. I thought he played really well as a redshirt freshman. Last year, I can't tell you one dude on that Clemson defensive line that played well. And I think, Glenn, that was the disappointment. We were looking at, with Parker coming back and Peter Woods and Green, that, man, that would be the strength of their team. They get the transfer guy from Purdue. None of them played well. Not a one. This is a young man with talent. Now the refinement in him has got to be done at LSU.
Yeah, he's played 2 years. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. And I think that's kind of a common theme that you're seeing with a lot of these guys that LSU is bringing in. I think, the safety, kind of is the maybe the lone exception. But they're bringing in a lot of guys that have multiple years of experience, but also multiple years of eligibility left. And I think that a lot of these guys, LSU's kind of pitching, not only just being here for 2026, but developing in our program, developing in this system, and staying for 2027 as well. And so I know you can't project out that far, and there's just so much stuff that kind of, changes things on a year-to-year basis. But, a guy like Green, he's had some bright moments. He was actually the leading tackler in the Clemson game for Clemson in that game against LSU. He had, I think, 6 of his 18 tackles that in that game against LSU. He did a really nice job in that game. I think he's going to be a guy, when you look at, you're replacing Jacobian Guillory, you're replacing Bernard Gooden, somebody on the interior that can just kind of, eat some space, but also have some power and ability to get into the backfield as well. I believe he had 2.5 or 3 sacks this last year as well. He's somebody that I think is really intriguing, and I think can round out that defensive line room really well, because I will say, I think that they're going to want these freshmen to play pretty early if they're able to. Like Richard Anderson, Lamar Brown, maybe Deuce Gerald, they're really high on that group of players. If you're able to surround those guys with some players that have played for a little bit and have some experience, I think that it's going to make for a really, really entertaining and interesting defensive line room next year.
Glenn, it seems like LSU's been addressing a lot of different spots, the running back position, wide receiver, defensive line, safety, as we've mentioned throughout the call here. But one spot that they haven't necessarily addressed just yet, and I feel like it's the one that they need to add maybe the most bodies, is the offensive line. Just want to get your thoughts on that spot for this Tiger team, because a ton of different names from last year's unit entered the transfer portal. Some have already found new homes. Mike had already mentioned Kerryus Kern going to Ole Miss, Ori Williams landing in Tennessee. But just your thoughts on LSU's offensive line for 2026 and how many pieces that they need to add there, because it seems like one of those major roster holes early on. But obviously you can address it in the portal.
Yeah, if quarterback is kind of the 1A that you need to go get right, if you're LSU, I would put offensive line as the 1B. I mean, they're right behind quarterback in terms of the most important position here that LSU has to go attack, and maybe closing on Leavitt will help them in that respect. You know, they'll have a star quarterback that they can preach to a lot of these O-linemen. They obviously have the scheme. They'll have a lot of the past success offensively that this offensive staff has had. So maybe that'll help them in their pitches to go get some of these offensive linemen. But it's been a little bit more of a slow burn. You know, they've been bringing guys in. They've been having them on visits. And, you know, I think it's also been kind of interesting because a lot of these offensive linemen really haven't started entering the portal or announcing their intentions to enter the portal until the portal opened. I mean, up until the January 2nd date where the portal really opened, I mean, Kerryus Kern was the top-rated offensive lineman, and then the next highest guy was a three-star. I mean, they haven't really been filing into the portal as much up until the last couple of days. So I think LSU is just kind of biding its time there. They know that they got to go out and get several starters. They got to get a tackle. They got to get a couple guards. You know, they got Braylon Moore that I think they're finalizing a deal with to return. They've got Weston Davis back in the fold. Solomon Thomas is an interesting young player that can return for LSU as well. But they've got to replenish. They've got to go get older. They got to go get more experience. And I think you'll certainly see that turn, that corner start to be turned if they're able to close here on Leavitt and really kind of centralize their focus on the offensive line, because it's really, really important that they go get several guys that can start and also probably some added depth players as well.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised maybe to try to tap into that Ole Miss roster when that season comes open there too. Yeah. That's going to be the Pandora box too. Last question for you, Glenn. Lance Hurd, because a lot of people have asked me, would Lance Hurd return to LSU? My thing is, he'd certainly have a spot. And, man, watching that dude, he got some talent. Now, again, the technical part still is a work in progress with him, but he was the most highly rated offensive lineman, him and Campbell sort of coming out different times. But, man, you talk about a guy with some talent. That is Lance Hurd. Any connection you've heard between LSU and Lance Hurd?
None that's concrete. I think, you know, if he wants to play left tackle, I mean, that's the reason he left LSU a couple of years ago, is because he wanted to play left tackle. Well, left tackle is wide open right now for the taking. So I think the thing with Hurd here is teams are weighing how much he's asking for in the transfer portal versus, you know, how much they actually really want to spend on him and make him kind of the all-in, you know, kind of go for it kind of starting left tackle. I mean, those guys aren't cheap. And so, you know, I think that evaluation process with him is still ongoing. I'd be a big proponent of bringing him back and finishing his career at LSU. I think that would make a lot of sense. But I think it also just has to come down to what LSU feels like they can spend at that position, what they feel like, you know, he could offer them at that position, and if that matches what they feel would be a good value to them, then I think that they absolutely would, you know, could pursue that opportunity. But he's going to be a guy that's going to have a lot of teams after him. I think he's very much kind of weighing and sitting back and weighing all of his options. I think he just officially entered the portal yesterday, so I'm sure he's fielding a lot of calls. His agents are fielding a lot of calls, so I would certainly be on board with that, but I don't have any concrete intel that LSU has made a serious push yet for him.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. We used to always think, you know, after the first of the year, unless you were looking for coaches, it was sort of a dead period. You know, not a lot going on.
I missed that.
That didn't change, brother. That changed.
The next couple of weeks is going to be a lot of time on the old laptop, but wouldn't happen any other way until LSU fills that roster.
God bless him, brother. It gives us content, Glenn.
Yes,
content.
Sir.
And that's fantastic. And this isn't a one-year deal. This is going to be every year, maybe not to this extent, but we are walking on land we haven't walked on before with all this transfer portal stuff.
They don't call him the Portal King for nothing, or he doesn't call himself the Portal King for nothing. So I feel like it's a lot more of this to come, guys.
Yes, sir. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Always do a great job, buddy. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn.
All righty. Glenn West does a fantastic job for Go247 Sports. And, boy, man, things fast and furious in the transfer portal period. And I think 24 hours from now, we'll know one way or another about Sam Levitt.